Good morning, good morning. What's going on, everybody? Happy freaking Tuesday to you. Bay Ragney here, Totally Jim Radio Rocks. And we are live, we are in your face, and we wanna fight. Not really. We don't wanna fight. We just wanna rock and roll. That's what we wanna do. And we're here with another special. Got to talk to our old friend the other day, taped this interview the other night. And he's the man. What more can I say? Mr. Brad Sinsel of the legendary band TKO. From the Seattle area. We called up the other night. It's kind of wild that, you know, as I was going back and checking the last time we had him on the show, it was like 2 years ago. So they got some big things happening, I should say. They have a show coming up this weekend. They're headlining the big Legions of Metal Festival out in Chicago. They're on Saturday night. They're headlining the festival. Last band to play Saturday night. So if you're in the Chicago area, it's out at Reggie's, infamous place. Go there, check them out. Tell them you're totally driven. Tell Brad that. He'll want to hear it. And I want to hear it too. So let me know as well. But this summer, they're going to Germany for the first time. So we talk about that. We talk about Brad's influence over the Seattle scene, his relationship with Mike McCready, all that and much, much more. And he talks about a whole lot of stuff. Talks about touring with Angel. I don't want to give too much away. Because, yeah, Brad, like, he'll talk. He'll open up. He'll say some stuff. So you got to listen. So here, you know, let's just get right into it. We're going to go right into the interview, and then we're going to play a bunch of TK music. So hang tight, listen, enjoy the interview, and then raise your fist and fight along with Totally Jim Radio Rocks, Bay Ragney, Brad Sinsel, and yourself as we jam out this in TKO. So without further ado, here he is. Mr. Brad Sinsel.
Hello.
There he is, the man of the hour.
How you doing?
How the fuck you doing, man? It's been a while.
I'm doing good. Long days, it's better than short days, right?
Absolutely. You got a lot going on, man.
Well, it's big time, all things TKO. I mean, this is great fun for me.
You know, I was even going to ask you that. Like, what, like, after all this time, like, what makes you want to keep doing TKO? Because, you know, you have a long history with the band.
Yeah. Who was it? It was Mike McCready from Pearl Jam showed up at the opening show in Seattle. And he's always been a big fan of TKO. Because he's a metal guy when you boil it down. And he was like, he loved the show. He said, what was it like? I said, my main thing was, how the hell do I connect? Everything I do is autobiographical. So it's like logging into who I was at 23, 24, 25. What's that going to look like today? Right. And I said, how was that? And I said, you know, it just was automatic. Because all those stories that were so important in the day, I just immediately connected with. And all the players that are on board, it was the same thing. I mean, it was just instant. So it was big fun.
That's awesome. Now when it comes to somebody like a Mike McCready who... you know, has had tremendous success with Pearl Jam and all. Did you realize, like, you know, as I was going through and, like, reading things and finding out things, like, did you realize how much of not even an influence you had, like, on somebody like a Mike McCready, but on, like, the whole Seattle scene?
Well, yeah. I mean, on the get-go, they were always, you know, so ingratiating towards us. And as it got into the later days, not so much, but Mike's always been so sweet saying, yeah, this is where I come from.
Right. That's super cool. And then actually,
yeah.
I mean, didn't he like, was it, 'cause I saw like, as I was going through like all this stuff on Facebook and then like, did he actually release re-released a TKO 45 through like Pearl Jam.
Yeah, on his private label, because these were songs that influenced him.
Right.
So it was great to see him do that. I mean, these were, it's called TKO Round to the Lost Demos.
Right.
And that alone tells you, well, what the hell was that? And right. These are songs that seriously influenced him. And it was brought to my attention, should we do this? And I was kind of like, I'm not so into that. And Mike contacted me and said, are you kidding me? Let's do this. And
right.
So he put out a 45 on his label just to get the thing going. And then Northwest Metalworks, which is a Seattle label, followed up with the full thing.
That's awesome.
Which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. Now how about like when that whole thing was coming together, like for you, like going through all that stuff, I mean, did it bring back a lot of memories or things like that you hadn't even like thought of in a long time?
Well, I'll tell you, the reason I love it is it's a band that it's Apex, where the energy is there. And it's pre-metal. It's back when they used to call it hard rock. So here it is, you know, with the influences of UFO and whatnot. It was just great to see that music finally coming out.
Yeah.
Because it's somewhere between progressive and just kick-ass.
Classic stuff, man. Great stuff. I mean, it was really like as I was sitting there going through like all the, you know, the stuff that you guys had put out, like pictures and flyers and stuff like that around as you were promoting the release, and seeing especially like the live shots of like these huge stadium shows you guys were doing. It's just like, wow. I mean, it really takes your breath away. It's like, holy shit. Like, and then I'm like, well, wait a minute. Where the freak all them people go? Where are they at now?
Yeah, very, very true, my friend. It's kind of like, what happened to all those people from Woodstock?
Right.
They all ended up being Democrats. I don't know.
Oh, that's too funny. That's good stuff, though, man. So, you know, it's funny, too. Some other things I came across, like, again, going back to, like, the old shows of you guys. There was a show you guys did, I guess, like, the promoter called it or something, like the Alphabet Show, where it was, like, all initial bands, and you guys opened up. It was an AC/DC show.
Oh, yeah. That was... what the hell was that? That was the Mississippi River Rock Festival. And it was Hart and Nazareth. And the promoter said, let's put some of those new Alphabet bands together. And the joke was AC/DC, UFO, TKO. Because the promoter thought, it's some kind of gimmick, right?
Right.
And it turns out it wasn't a gimmick. It was the future.
Right. Yeah, that's some cool stuff. Another one that it was kind of like scary because I actually just saw these guys a couple weeks ago. Well, a couple of the guys, Angel, Punky Meadows, and Frank Demino. I just saw them. They just played here in the Philadelphia area last month. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
Wow, that's a flashback.
Yes, it is.
It sounded like there were some interesting things that happened on that show, too. People kept saying you wouldn't come out and say what happened, but there, it sounded like there was a good time.
Well, yeah, yes and no. Yes and no, my friend. They were so serious. Punky and company. And we were less serious. I mean, to us, sure. It was about rock. And I remember I couldn't wait to get off that tour because they were so serious. And at some point, we're getting ready to leave that to go on to our own headlining thing. And their tour manager said, "I'm sorry, you can't leave." It was right after we ended our last show. I said, "What do you mean I can't leave?" "Well, we can't give away the secret about how they leave their boxes."
Okay.
And I said, okay, I'm good with that. But it turns out my guitar player, now deceased, God bless him, Tony Porco, had smeared their magic boxes with stinky cheese.
Oh, all right.
And that was just because bands always, you know, the last night of the tour, everybody has a little something they do to each other.
Sure.
And that was a great, you know, some people leave marbles on the stage. But this was a good goodbye.
You put stinky cheese in the boxes. That's classic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too funny.
They took themselves a little bit seriously, and we did not. I mean, you know, there was a certain early punk level to TKO, which led to thrash, and it led to a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Seattle scene, which became such a huge thing. I mean, you guys were a huge influence over it. You know, it's pretty amazing. I mean, I read numerous times going through, and I remember from, you know, the early '80s with my TKO albums, and going back and reading this stuff, like, it kind of like takes your breath away as the outsider looking in. I can't imagine being you in your shoes, where so many people, like, and I saw it numerous times, call you legend.
Yeah, well, that and a dollar. I mean, when I hit Seattle, I could not break that town to save my soul, and to this day, there's still part of it I can't break because they're so socialist now. It's hard for me to get in there.
Wow. That sounds a little frustrating now.
Well, yes and no. But then again, I mean, there's so many wonderful things about that town. You know, it's a giving town. I don't know. I should probably shut up.
Come on. You don't have to shut up. Here's a fun question for you, and it makes me think of the all right, I'm going to date myself now. The 12-year-old listening to my I Want to Fight and In Your Face album. What happened to the girl on the front cover?
My ex-wife.
Is it really?
Absolutely.
No kidding.
Yeah, to this day we still talk, and it's all good. You know, her idea, we ended up having a revised Christmas version of that because so many people were absolutely upset with that. The Christmas version was she was in the wedding gown and I was on the floor. But I do recall there was some program director from New York that absolutely said, "We will not play this record based on the misogyny," which early on was, come on, look at it. I mean, this was First Amendment shit.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's pretty crazy, though. I mean, it's controversial and all that, but that had to be a really
funny thing.
Well,
it was supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, you know? It was our sense of humor. I had, originally she was my management, and I had wooed her over. So it was like I won. But somewhere in there, it became some kind of women's liberation thing that this was a wrong thing.
Right. That's all wrong. That's all wrong.
Yeah, well, I love the New York gal that refused to play it. Refused to play it because it was misogynist and all things bad.
They were like looking too much into it. Why didn't they just like enjoy the music and, you know?
Well, it was the early days of let's do away with the First Amendment.
Right.
You know, to me, as far as I saw, all of a sudden I started saying, gee, I better watch out what I say. And once you do that as a writer, we're in the wrong country.
Do you think that really affected you? Like, you really started looking too much
into it? It's the first time I noticed that I'm watching what I say. And to me, that meant, well, what the hell country are we in?
Right.
I still believe, go ahead and say what you want to say. I believe you have the right to say it. Doesn't mean I have to agree with it. But if we get, you know, we're living in an age now where if you say something, you got to be careful. And that bothers me as a writer.
If you look at the blues,
come on, think about it.
Right.
Is that offensive? Most things out of the blues are offensive to women.
Sure.
Most things out of rap. I mean, it's an odd thing where we're going with the First Amendment.
But how about, do you think, like, now, you know, these years later, do you still catch yourself censoring yourself, or have you?
Oh, made... God, yes. It's only gotten worse.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And to me, it makes, am I interested in writing a little bit less, though?
It's kind of like you were saying about the whole Angel thing. Like, everything has gotten too serious, and it's taken the whole, you know, edge out of the rock and roll part that was supposed to be fun.
Right. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Which is one of the reasons I'm loving doing these live dates is to me, it's a question of, gee, I get to go out and do this before it's hate speech.
Right.
Because I look back at the lyrics, you know, one of the things, my friend, is I look back at these lyrics and they're all autobiographical.
Sure.
And I was questioning myself, am I going to be locked into these stories? And immediately I was. So I was really happy about that. Immediately happy about that.
That's good. Yeah, I mean...
Because there was a chance that I wouldn't be so.
Yeah, but I mean, they're so personal. I mean, like you said, they're autobiographical. So they're so personal to you. I mean, it really would suck that you would have to change any part of it or censor yourself to it.
Yeah, but what used to be important in 1981, would that be credible today? Would I be concerned? Would I deliver with the same passion? And once we started rehearsals, I went, wow, I'm back there.
Right.
So I was surprised by that.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. That's a real good thing.
Well, to this day, when I think I want to fight, I lock it into other things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, no matter what, or no matter how many years pass, or whatever, there's still always...
Everybody's got something they want to fight about.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, I mean, it's kind of like, I'm sure, you know, when you wrote that song, 1980, 81, you never would have thought in 2018 it would still be relevant, or you'd still be performing it.
Right. It was just about the day.
Yeah.
But the story lives on. I mean, there's other things you want to fight about.
Absolutely. Which, and I saw, you guys played a couple weeks ago, and it was awesome. Clips on YouTube, it was an awesome show.
It was great, and it was the Seattle show. So the whole idea was before we do Chicago, we picked 3 dates just to try out the band and see if there's a purpose we should go onward. And why not open in Seattle where it all began?
Sure.
So Seattle it was, and it was just great. It was like old home week. Doesn't mean that's going to be that agreed upon when we get to Chicago. So we're going to work a little bit harder.
Yeah, now you have this big Chicago show coming up this week.
Yeah.
The Lords of Metal Festival.
Yeah, I mean, but we're launched in there. It's funny, my friend, because we were considered too heavy when we came out. And there's all these lizard bat bands now that are so heavy that we actually sound kind of lightweight.
Right.
So it'll be an interesting show.
Now, this is a 2-day festival. It's May 18th and 19th. Which day are you guys playing?
Saturday. We're ending the thing.
Oh, so you guys are the complete headliner of the festival.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's awesome, man. Any pressure?
Not after Seattle. You know what I mean?
That puts
Seattle
you
was just... that was my litmus test. As goes Seattle, as goes the rest of it. And once we got done with Seattle, I was like, we're good.
That's awesome. That's exciting, man. I wish you guys were coming to Philly. Like, have you guys ever played Philly?
Oh, which time?
See, where was I? I mean, I was probably a little kid.
Well, yeah, you probably were. See, I'm that old. We came through there with who? Played the Kinks, Cheap Trick.
Oh, wow.
Hard. And we came through there with War Babies.
Really?
But it was more, I think, one of my favorite War Babies gigs was Erie, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I loved Erie. Erie is one of my favorite War Babies shows.
Why is that?
It was just kind of this funky little town. And I liked it. Is it still that kind of funky little town?
I don't know. You know what? I don't think I've even ever been to Erie. And that,
well, there you go.
I'll be in Philly tomorrow, but Erie, I don't think I've ever actually been to Erie, Pennsylvania.
Well, that shows you what Columbia Records' commitment was to us.
No, it's with like the whole with the War Babies and even like as I was thrown, I was listening to you and Rick Pierce teamed up with Suicide Squad. I mean, when I listen to all that stuff, to me, it's always just no matter what. And maybe it's just because it's you, but it's TKO. Like, so why not just call it TKO?
Because it wasn't. I mean, that's the best answer I can come up with. It was like little upshots here and there. But that Suicide Squad, that's still one of my favorite albums.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool stuff.
Yeah. And it has a very young Richard Stuber, who later became the drummer of War Babies.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, these things all just kept coming back.
Yeah.
Thanks. It's all just, I'm telling you. To me, it's TKO. It really is.
Well, to me, it's kind of all TKO.
Oh, that's good stuff. No, you're
I ran into Tommy McMullen, guitar player for War Babies. He showed up at the Seattle show, and we were hanging out. And it's hilarious because it used to piss him off when I say, this is the missing TKO album. But in the long run, in some sort of the way, it is a missing TKO album.
I think so too. So he wasn't happy about that?
Well, no. Tommy's got a big ego. I love him to death. He's a great songwriter. Yeah, I love the Tom. I love the Tom.
That's funny.
And we'll leave it there.
Going back to that Seattle show, there was something too that I was seeing in the pictures, and it kept making me wonder. There was a lot of pictures of the crowd, and a couple pictures of your son Boone in the crowd, and some pictures with you and your son. And I was wondering, what's that like for you now where you're performing in front of your son?
Well, he's been an integral part of my career post TKO. And somebody posted that picture, and he's a beautiful young man. So for all you ladies out there who have daughters that are looking for a good man, he's the kindest man I know. He's also a musician, but he's into this music that I'll be damned if I can tell what that is. But that's the part I like about it. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, like, when he started wanting to get into music, did you, like, fully encourage, or were you kind of like, do you know what you're getting into? Like, what are you doing?
The more I encouraged or discouraged him, I realized I was going to the wrong place.
Right.
So things with Boone is I always said, you have a bigger problem with me being your dad. So from here on out, you just handle things yourself.
Sure.
And he's done so, and his stuff is really dark and ambient. It's somewhere between, Kraftwerk and Iggy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's different.
Sure.
And I keep, as a dad, saying, you have to leave your mark. And the more I say that, the less important I think that is. Because at the end of the day...
No, I was going to say, like, after he sees that, like, when he sees you a couple weeks ago performing, do you think, or has he said anything, like, I didn't realize, like, the influence you had? Like, well, you know what I mean? Like, is he kind of taken back? Like,
no, you know, Boone's always been respectful. He's got his own thing going on, but he knows when I ruled the day, and he said, you owned it. And that's all. As soon as she said that, I was like, okay, I did my job.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like, game over. I'm good now. That's all you need.
Yeah, as a dad, I mean, that's about all you can expect.
Yeah. That's good stuff. That is now, you guys are going over to Germany, too, this summer.
Yeah, the homeland. Their homeland. I'm stoked about that, and the reason being is the first Central in the United States was a Hessian.
Oh.
Go figure. So that means the first Hessian was caught by the revolutionaries, which meant they had one option. Either you join us or we'll hang you. And then they found out that Johann Zinzel was a wheelwright. And they gave him the shot of either you work for us or we'll hang you.
Oh.
And Johann chose, I'll work for you.
Good choice.
Thus, we have me. So I've learned through Ancestry.com that I have relatives over there who are going to show up at the event on my guest list. So that's going to be kind of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. So now, is this your first time going to Germany, or?
Yeah, it is. First time in Europe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I always stayed away from Europe because of the horror stories. But yet, here I am. Yeah.
See, now, I just stay away from going out of the country just because I'm a scaredy cat, and that scares me. But if I was in your shoes and with the music, and all, it just seems like Europe is so much, I don't know if I'm going to say bigger market or more, but it just seems like more of a...
No, I'll tell you exactly what it is. I used to hear stories of bands that would go there and people got stranded there.
Right. See, that's what
so I always said, I'm not going. And suddenly I said, okay, I'm going.
So what made a difference this time?
The guarantees.
Oh, there you go.
And it was time.
Yeah, that for sure. I think you've waited long enough. Go conquer Germany. Conquer Europe. They still want to fight. We always still want to fight. Come on.
Well, I'm not so sure. I'm not even going to go there. I can't wait to hang out with my German brothers.
That's going to be like the cool part alone. Not only just playing the festival, but just got me really intrigued by the whole Ancestry.com. I mean, you should like try to get a sponsorship through them to help pave the way as well.
Well, yeah, there's Gunther Sintzel with a Sintzel, and there's he might be dead. I did notice that when I first got on Ancestry.com, Gunther said, "You can't possibly be related to me." And I said, "This is bullshit. Here's my legacy." He said, "Oh, apparently you are correct." And he said, "I noticed that you are somewhat famous. I am famous too." And then he sent me this Ancestry.com thing that sets out how cool he is.
So how cool was he?
He, my first comment was, "Where was he in 43?
Oh, jeez. I'm sure that went over kind of well.
Yeah, not so much. I haven't heard from Gunther much.
Building relationships with the family already, I see. So will they be asking you to come back after July 26th? That'll be the question.
Well, we shall see. You know, I'm taking the band out for a stroll, and let's see how it goes. Because next year is the 40th anniversary.
Yeah, so like, I mean, that's what so far you have planned Chicago and Germany. I mean, anything else planned for the year, or are you going to work on any new music?
No, it was simply, we're looking at taking the band into the studio late fall.
Okay.
Based on how do these dates sound? How does the band sound? And once I know that, then I can give you an answer.
Interesting. So we need to do a follow-up after Germany then?
Yeah. But so far, given Seattle, I mean, one of the biggest things was the guitar player had some big shoes to fill with Adam.
Right.
And Seattle people were really up in arms. "God, are you kidding me? He'll never be able to do this." And, you know, Sharton had to do that, and he did okay. But at the end of the day, Kendall did extremely well, and it just shut all that down.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
So I guess like it sounds like a lot of the old time fans were kind of like still pushing to have Adam back with you.
Yeah, not so many of them because he pretty much pissed everybody off with his comments on Chris Cornell and whatnot. And that's one of the things about Adam. I say he was asking to be back in the fold, and I said, "You have to make friends with people you pissed off.
Yeah,
you need to make amends." And I got a message from him that said, "What am I supposed to do? Start posting Christian memes on my Facebook page?" And I saw that, and I said, "He doesn't get it."
Yeah.
"He fucking doesn't get it." So, having said that, we lay that where it lies. And now we find that Kendall Bechdel is a monster guitar player. I mean, he comes from Fifth Angel. He's got cred, and he earned it in Seattle. So,
sure,
game on, Adam.
And you also have—I mean—you have longtime bass player Evan Shealy with you.
Yeah, from 1967. That's a long time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I mean, yeah. Shame on Adam. It's his fault.
Yeah. It's his turn. You know, step up to the plate, do the right thing, apologize to people. That's all I've ever asked him.
Yeah. Now how about that? Like the whole, like you mentioned, Chris Cornell, and do you kind of almost just kind of shake your head? I mean, you look at that whole generation of these iconic people from Seattle, like your Chris Cornell and Kurt Cobain, Layne Staley, Andrew Wood. I mean, these guys changed the whole scene of music, and they're no longer with us.
I look at that because I was managed by Kelly Curtis, who was managed by all of those. I mean, Kelly managed everybody.
Okay.
And it's just hard to see the damage.
Yeah.
That came out of that era. Not that it's Kelly's fault. It's just...
Sure.
There was some bad stuff that went down.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it wasn't even something that happened, you know, all at once. I mean, it was still up until last year, you know, these things were happening.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's just the thing about Seattle is it became almost like a death cult.
Right, right.
Which I shouldn't say that for people that, but you look at it, and yeah, it's just we should look at surviving people in a happy way, not like we're doing now.
Yeah, I mean, like it's you have so much amazing and beautiful music that came out. But yet on the flip side, it's like a lot of sad stories to go with it.
Yeah.
Which, do you know Andrew Wood's brother, Kevin, from Malfunction?
No.
No? I used to be in touch with him a lot. He did the show, and we used to like text back and forth all the time and email all the time. And I haven't, and it's my fault too. Like, I don't know why I stopped reaching out, but it's like now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I need to reach out and just say, hey, like, how you doing? Like, what's going on? How you been? It's been a while.
You know, that to me is, I don't know what Kevin's thing was. There was only one Andrew Wood.
Yeah.
And I end with that.
Sure. There's really not much you can say. I mean, Andrew was truly one in a million, one in 10 million.
Yeah, I mean, he was in love with being a rock star. And I remember him asking me, he goes, what's it like that, be on a tour bus? And I just looked at him and I shook my head. I said, this is not what you're looking for.
Wow. And I can even say, like, even like that question alone, like, that's like something I looked at, like, you know, growing up, you know, a teenager in the 80s and wanting to be that quote unquote rock star. And, you know, it's funny because as I do this show more, and we're usually live on Thursday nights and we talk about a lot of this stuff and all. And I say, and like now looking back, I say it to myself and I realize now, like, I was more just that, like that question Andrew said, like more infatuated with the thought of being a rock star than the actual musician part or trying to better myself. I was more, yeah, and I realize that now. It's like I totally looked at that whole scenario and situation from the wrong angle, and it took me years of growing up and maturing to realize that.
Well, me too. Me too, my friend.
Yeah, but you were there. You were doing it. I mean, you were making
it. Yeah, but there was a point where I wasn't. You know what I mean? There was a point where I was a kid, too. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And so I get where he was coming from. He wanted to know what he thought the end-all was what's it like to have a tour bus?
Right.
The reality is a tour bus is stinky. It's butt fumes and deli trays.
Oh.
And 30 feet.
Yeah, it doesn't sound so rock starish when you.
But growing up, we all just want that tour bus, and unfortunately, the reality of the tour bus is stinky feet and deli trays.
Or the stinky butt cheese that ended up in Angel's boxes.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, so you're saying end of the year, you guys could be going to the studio. Are you looking to do like a full length album or just EP?
Well, I'm working. I'm working with Kendall on new stuff, and cool. I'm really excited about that. There's also the 40th anniversary coming up of TKL.
So you sound like you have like something planned in your head.
I'd like to come up with a song and a 40th anniversary set of dates.
That sounds good to me. I mean, that's all you really got to do anymore is one song. You don't have to go do a whole full-length album.
So Kendall and I are rooming together on these live dates, and we're doing some writing together. We'll see where that goes.
Nice. That's exciting. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
So I don't want to rush 2019, but let's get it on. Come on. Let's do this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Very cool. So you think you might add any more dates throughout the year, possibly, anywhere?
No, absolutely not. I agreed to 3 dates. I'll tell you what I did. I agreed to 3 dates to see if the band clicks. After Seattle, the band clicks, so the other 2 dates are kind of like a no-brainer.
Right. Interesting. So 2018, more or less, is kind of like a year of teasing the public to like tickle us a little bit for the 40th anniversary in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, it's let's get ready for that.
It's let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah, that's my thought.
Nice. Very, very cool. Coolness. So now we know the plan. So now we got to catch back up for the end of the year as we get ready to have TKO conquer the world in 2019.
Yeah.
Very cool. So where should we send everybody to keep up to date on TKO and yourself and get the music?
Well, that would be TKO Official, I guess, is the Facebook that we're going with.
Nice. Now, how about, is there any more of those lost demos? Is that still available, or is it sold out? Or?
Well, I'll tell you, we ended up having... we have a ton of stuff that is now available that now has to be rebaked and go through that whole process. And that will be available soon as well.
Nice.
But I think the important thing for where we're going is a 40-year reunion with how many players? Christ,
right.
That's a lot of players.
Wow. Interesting.
And it goes from Rick Pierce to Adam Baum, Charlton Christopherson, Scott Earle. I mean, there's a huge legacy that we're going to deal with next year that I'm so looking forward to.
So you might intertwine all these old members into the new.
In a perfect day.
Let
me see how I do with that.
Right, right.
Because that might not be as easy as I'm thinking.
Yeah, it sounds like that one could be kind of tough.
Yeah. But you know what? I did it once in 2001. I had Evan Cheeley and Scott Earle on stage at one time playing bass together at last. So there's a possibility that could happen.
Yeah, never say never. Very, very cool. So, all right. So, what? I'm going to play some tunes. I'm going to mix in some tunes with this interview. What? Any special requests you want me to play?
Yeah. Now that you ask, interesting tunes would be the deep cuts. Let's start with, remember Ken Mary?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ken Mary, who went on from TKO to play with Alice Cooper and House of Lords and Death Angel and whatnot. Yeah. Sticks and Stones. There's a deep cut. If you have that. I Want to Fight is always a favorite.
Always. That one's a given.
You got one?
Oh, Dangerous City. You know what's funny? Actually, as you, it just flashed in my head. As you said, I Want to Fight. I literally just thought to myself, like, I remember when I bought that album, and I remember standing in front of my mirror singing that song and that album as a kid.
It's every man's fight song.
I'm telling you, it literally, just as you said that, it literally flashed in my head. I remember being that kid in front of the mirror singing that song, and my mother busted in. What are you doing? I'm like, Mom, I want to fight. I just want to fight.
Well, there we go. We have the choice.
There we go. Basic stuff. Maybe with the Working Girl, too. That's another goodie.
One of my least favorites.
Really? All right, we'll scratch that one. That's funny.
But it's a true story.
So why is it one of your least favorites?
Because as life went on, it was less of an important story.
Gotcha.
But lyrically, it's a true story. If you look at the lyrics, it's a true story.
Now I have to go back and look at the lyrics.
Yeah, check it out. True story.
Cool. Yeah, I'll pull some tracks out. I'll fill it up. We'll rock this show. We got this.
Yeah, do what you want.
Okay. I have your blessing. That's all that matters.
They're all true stories.
So I'll mix in a bunch of true stories with this interview of trueness.
There we go.
There we go. Cool. Well, Brad, dude, this is always a pleasure, man, catching up with you. I'm happy to see you guys are still doing it. I'm hoping in 2019, somehow, some way, like, you don't have to come to Erie. I prefer you come to Philly.
I've been to Philly, but it was just before you were born.
No, it was probably, I guarantee it was probably after I was born. If it was Hart and all that.
Well, yeah. It was somewhere back in the day.
Do you remember where you played? Like, I'm guessing maybe the Tower Theater?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was 79. So that would have been with Hart, Cheap Trick, or the Kinks.
So that might have been the Spectrum Tower Theater?
Yeah, the big arenas.
The Spectrum.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. The part that sucks is the Spectrum is no more. It's just a piece of grass right now.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yep. That's cool, though. That's really cool stuff, though. Nice. So, yeah. So, let's keep in touch, man. It's always a pleasure hearing from you.
All right.
And, I'll let you know where we're going to air this, and let's catch up again soon. Good luck in Chicago.
Awesome, my friend.
Kick their ass, and don't scare your relatives in Germany too much when you go over there.
Gotcha. All right, my friend.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Absolutely. Talk to you later. Bye.
Come on.
like a lamb to the slaughter. You took me down, gave me the warning. Oh, last laugh. Well, that's the last laugh of all. My last laugh. Hey,
But there you go, TKO with Dangerous City. Before that, when we did Working Girl, which, as Brad said, and you, as you heard in the interview, it's not one of his favorite songs, so I had to do it just to break balls. Before that, when we did From the Blow to Belt album, this was Brad's pick, Sticks and Stones. And before that, of course, from In Your Face, I Want to Fight. What a fucking song, isn't it? I love that song. Love that song for, 36 years now? 37 years? It's freaking classic. So, all right, so everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you check out Brad. He's on Facebook, TKO. Look him up on Facebook, TKO Official, and you can get all the information. And remember, this Saturday night, they're headlining the Legions of Metal Festival at Reggie's in Chicago. So check that out. And, hey, if you're in Germany this summer, July, go see TKO. Germany's getting TKO before Philly is. What is up with that? We got to make a change there. We got to make something happen. So there you go. Let's make this happen. So, all right. So thanks again, everybody. Again, my name is Bay Ragney, Totally Jim Radio, Totally Jim Radio Rocks. Check me out. I'm all over Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Like me, love me, follow me. Totally Jim Entertainment, Totally Jim Radio, do the same. And, yeah, make sure you stay driven, everybody. And keep rocking. See ya.